This is Victory House.
This morning, I want to bring you a word that we have titled Ignite. Look at your neighbor, tell them Ignite. Let's open our Bibles to several openings this morning, starting from Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse 2. Isaiah 9 and 2. Isaiah 9 and 2. Okay, guys, I have to look at this morning. All right. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16. Matthew 4, 16. It's the same thing, but this time around in the Gospels or in the New Testament. The same scripture, word for word. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. And then in verse 18 of Acts chapter 26, Acts 26 and verse 18, the Bible says to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And the last major reading this morning, John chapter 8 and verse 12. And this is now Jesus himself speaking. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Jesus speaking here. The Bible says, and again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Can somebody say, I believe that the light of life is available, is possible, and it's mine. Ignite. If I was to ask, what is bothering you, for example, this morning? If I was to ask people to talk to their neighbor and say, what is bothering you? I'm sure I will have all kinds of answers here this morning. Or I will have all kinds of things that people will say. Now, if I was to also ask, what is bothering you? And if I was also to now ask the other question, that how do you solve, or what are the solutions to what is bothering you? Whether the person you asked or you yourself to tell me. I'm sure I would also get all kinds of varied answers. All kinds of answers. But some of the answers that people give will probably be solutions that can help them to do that may be able to solve the problem, or that may be answers to the problem. But many of the times when people are going through problems, the normal human tendency is to focus on the problem because the problem is imminent, or the problem is immediate, or the problem is what you see, than to focus on the answer. And when man had a major problem, God knew that if we keep focusing on the problem and don't solve this problem from the major place it is happening, we are just going to be giving palliative effect. So what God did was that God said, look, I'm going to solve the problem from the roots. Because you see, there are sometimes the problem is not really what you think the problem is. There are sometimes what you think the problem is just symptom of the problem. If you ask many married people, there are many times that husband and wife are arguing over some things, and the thing they are arguing over is not really the thing that they are really arguing over. Because the thing that is really disturbing them is something else that is under what they are arguing over. I mean, medical people will tell you that, you know, if you have this particular disease, these are the symptoms. And the symptoms you will see in a particular of a particular disease does not necessarily manifest itself in everybody in the same way. So the fact that this person has this symptom, that person has this, it may still be the root problem. And if we treat symptom and don't treat the real reason why the symptoms are coming, well, we'll still have the problem there. So what did God do? When man needed a major fix, God fixed the problem. And really, the problem is this. Man, after the creation of man, in Genesis chapter 1, by Genesis chapter 3, man fell. And man now, by that fall, inherited a nature that was bad. So the problem of man, naturally speaking, or from that time on, was that nature. So every other solution that happened until Jesus came was just fixing the symptoms. Everything, the old sacrificial system in Leviticus, the old lamb bring, it was just fixing the symptoms, a little bit of a symptom. But the real problem was a nature issue. Man had gotten the nature of the devil. And one of the nature of the devil is that the devil is darkness. The devil is darkness, pitch darkness, very evil, very bad, always bad. You know, he's never, there's no iota of good. Always bad. I mean, if you don't need to look too far to see many of the things that you know, this is just a bad devil. Sometimes you see some things and you can't just understand it. You can't just fathom it. I mean, for the life of me, I have never been able to understand mass killings. Especially these people that go to schools to shoot. I don't understand it. I mean, maybe in a little way, from a movie mindset, I may understand a little bit if some people go and shoot some people that had wronged them before, but go to a school and shoot kids, and some of these kids, you don't even know them. I don't understand. The only reason that we can give for it is that the devil is a black, dark, bad, evil devil. I don't even have adjective for him again. Oh, he's just a bad devil. And when you see those things, you know that the Adamic nature that we now got after when that fall happened was the devil nature. It was the dark nature. It was darkness. So darkness is what we inherited from Adam. It was not darkness that God created. Because remember in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible said, let there be light. Everything that he created after let there be light had a bit of light inside of them. So let there be light, and there was light. He now created sun and moon. Sun and moon had some little of light. He created animals, they had light, a little bit of light in them. Then he created man, we had light in us. But when the devil took over, he just introduced darkness. Because everything about God is almost antithetical or almost opposite of what the devil is. So when you hear that the devil is darkness, God is light. In fact, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, God is light and in him there is no darkness. It's perfect light. And that's why when you get to heaven, in heaven there are no shadows. In heaven there is no even need of electricity or light fixtures like this, because God himself is there. And the Bible said God is light. We put it up again. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. Then when Jesus himself showed up, in that scripture we read when we started this message, Jesus himself said it, John 8 and verse 12. He said, I am the light of the world. Anybody that follows me will not walk in darkness, or I will remove the nature that they got from Adam. I will give them the nature that God originally wanted them to have when he said, let there be light. I will let them connect back to that original nature, and they will not walk in darkness. I thought somebody would say amen to that. So God is light, God the Father is light, Jesus is light, and you and I were created to be light. Jesus himself said it. That's what we read in Matthew chapter 5 and 14 to 16. Matthew 5, maybe even from 13. Matthew 5, let's be fast, I have like 3 more minutes. The Bible says here, it says, you are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled on the feet. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill and cannot be hidden. Verse 15. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. And verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see the good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So, God the Father is light. Jesus, the Son of the living God, is light. You were made as light. But you see, the thing there is this. Between God the Father being light, between and Jesus being light, and then translating to us, manifesting a light, if you don't accept the work that happened on resurrection morning, you though you were made light, you though, the Bible, when he said, let there be light, had you in mind, you will be darkness. You will not manifest the light. So what resurrection in effect did was resurrection turn off the lights. Resurrection came and switched on. The switch was off. Resurrection came and turned it on. So what happened is that resurrection made sure that everyone that accepts the sacrifice that Jesus did on that cross of Calvary can now be turned on. So from resurrection, we have some things that is very real to us. One of the things that we see in resurrection that I just wanted to point out this morning before I start putting it together is this. Death is not final. Look at your neighbor, say death. It's not final. And you can say it louder, say death. Death. It's not final. Because sometimes the devil is always trying to make you understand that some things are final. But we saw in resurrection that God can make what the devil calls an end, and he can turn that end into a bend and start a new beginning. God is able to make sure that what should have killed or should have ended you, God can turn it around. And I believe God is turning things around for some people this morning in the name of Jesus. So resurrection informs us that death is not final. Another thing that resurrection informs us this morning that I like to point out to you is that what should be an end can be the start of a new beginning. There are some people that are listening to me this morning. You have experienced ends in some areas of life. You have come to your wit's end. You have tried everything, and it seems all have failed. But I've come to tell you this morning that the promise of resurrection, that what resurrection communicates to us, is that there can be a new beginning. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Because remember that story we read in John chapter 20 that we read quite a bit of the verses. Jesus said to Mary, he says, Mary, don't touch me. Because I am going to your Father. I am going to my Father. And I am going to your Father. I want to go and show myself to him. Because the Jesus you knew while I was on earth has changed now. I am now in my glorified body. I am not the Jesus. When I was on earth, yeah, I needed to knock on the door and they needed to open it for me. But now that I am in this state now, they don't need to open doors for me. I can walk through doors. Because the Bible said when the disciples, later on in that John chapter 20, were gathered in the room, he walked into the door. He didn't need anybody to open the door because he had changed. The devil thought he was putting an end to Jesus, but he didn't know that something big was starting. I want you to nudge your neighbor, say something big. It's about to happen in your life. So God is able to bring new starts from ends. God is able to spring off new life. God is able to give you a new relationship. God is able to give you a new child. God is able to give you a new job. God is able to do a new thing. Can somebody say a new thing? I want you to be expectant. Because that's one of the things that resurrection brings to us. It brings newness. It brings new beginning. I want you to believe that on this resurrection morning, every new beginning I want, every new beginning I deserve, every new beginning that is pending will begin to emerge in the name of Jesus. Another thing that resurrection communicates to us is that the enemy will not have the final say. Oh my God, I thought somebody would be excited for that. I don't know about you. Sometimes it looks like, oh, now this one has finished him. And you have been written off. Obituary has been written. Jesus has been recorded, has been dead. On whatever day that was, let's assume that it was April the 18th. Is that it? It's today 21st? April the 19th, they put it there. Jesus, son of Joseph, Jesus Joseph, died 12 p.m. And that's it. They closed the book. But the enemy did not have the final say. in the story of Jesus. And the enemy is not going to have the final say in your life in the name of Jesus. So what resurrection did was this. It provided that your light be turned on. Because Jesus made you a light. God made you a light. But you are a light that the devil tricked you to be manifesting darkness. So what resurrection now did was that resurrection made light to be available. It made sure that you can now be that light. So what do you now do on this kind of resurrection morning? One, number one, you accept this light. You accept this light. Some people are here, they need to accept this light for the first time. Some people are here, they need to acknowledge the light that they have accepted before. Because it is possible to accept the light and go and put the light under the bushel. Or just not let the light manifest, like we read in Matthew chapter 5. So you need to accept the light. Look at John chapter 1 and verse 12. John chapter 1 and verse 12. The Bible said, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. I like your translation that says, he gave the right to become their true self. Or my own personal translation will say, he gave the right for them to be turned on. He ignited them. He set them on fire. He made them to become their true self. I don't know if you have met some great people before, but if you have met any great person that has not met Jesus, you have not met the true great person. Because even that, their greatness is still limited. Because this is what the word of God says. The word of God says, until we accept the light of Jesus and take that light to overcome the Adamic nature on the inside of us, we are not our true selves. We are not the fullness of what God wants us to be. So if you want to be the fullness of what God wants you to be, it doesn't matter your age. You need to accept Jesus. You need to accept the finished work of the cross. You need to let Jesus come into your life. You need to let the work of salvation that Jesus got for us. You need to make it real in your life. So the first thing you need to do this morning, this resurrection morning, is you need to accept his light. And I will give that invitation this morning, like I did last week. And if you are in that category, you want to make sure you join me here in the front in a little bit. And the next thing you need to do, if you accept his light, is to let that light shine through you. Let that light shine through you. We read that in Matthew chapter 5. If you read from 13 to 16, Jesus himself using his own words, he says, you are the salt of the earth. When you have received me, you are the light of the world. He says, now go around with that consciousness. Go around with the consciousness that I carry something. Go around with the consciousness that I have a value I need to have. Go around with the consciousness that I add value to everywhere I go. Because I'm part of this company, there is value. Because I'm in this family, there is value. Because I'm on this block, there is value. I am a value-adding person. So have this value-adding mentality to everything you do. Let the light shine through you. Don't be in the corner just sitting down there. So what resurrection is telling us this morning, the command of resurrection is let your light shine. You remember what Jesus told Mary? He said, go and tell your brethren. Don't keep quiet. Don't keep quiet about what you have seen. Don't keep quiet about this experience. You need to make this to go viral. So what God is saying this morning to you and I is this. Let your light shine. Let people be able to see Jesus through you. On Monday morning, let them see it. Tuesday, Wednesday, every day of the week, let them see it. The reason many people are not coming to our Jesus is because we that have it, we are not letting people know about it. We are not showing the light. We are not shining the light. And this morning, my prayer for you and for me is that our light will shine through. Amen. In the name of Jesus. I want us to rise to our feet as we pray this morning. Jesus came just to reintroduce light, to make us to be lighted, to make us to be turned on, to make sure that we are no longer darkness. That's why the Bible said, those who have been in darkness, a great light has shone on them. So this morning, the light of Jesus, the light of resurrection is still available. If you have never received him, or you have received him and you just think that, Pastor, you know what? I think I received him, but I'm not sure what I did. I need to get it all straight now. I need to get it all written out now. I need to clean things up now. I need to restitute my way. What if you are in that category this morning, I want you to be in front. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. I want to believe God. I want this Easter resurrection morning to be an unusual Easter for you. That you will have the experience that now I am part of the family. Now the true me can find expression. So as every other person is bowing down their head and talking to God and say, let my light shine. If you're in the audience, just ask God, let my light shine in my work, in everywhere I find myself. I want you to stand with me in front this morning. If you are saying, Pastor, I want you to pray with me. I want the resurrection power of Jesus to fix the darkness issues in my life. I want you to pray with me, Pastor. If you are in the audience and you want to make that decision, you want to do that this morning, I want you to join me here this morning. And every other person, just ask God, let my light shine. This week, everywhere I find myself, I just want your light to shine. Your light, the light of the glorious gospel, to find expression through me at work, in school, in every area that I find myself, in the name of Jesus. Let your light shine. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Heavenly Father, we want to say a big thank you. Thank you because Jesus came and he set us on fire. And we, by your grace, we, by your help, we are going to set our worlds on fire. Lord, we declare that the true us, the hiding us, that part of us that has been hiding will find expression from now on.